Psalm 92, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord, how profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." This is God's word to us, and now Dan will open it for us.
Thanks, Matthew. Great to be with you. And I'm just going to share my screen at this point. Shall we come to God in prayer? Let's pray together. Lord, we've just sung about you speaking to us now through your word. And we pray, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you would apply this word to our hearts and that we would be changed because of it. Amen. Well, we're still, I suppose, in a very strange situation in our country and in our world. And of course, even though things are slightly getting back to normal, there are things that have done and are affecting us. And I wonder how we're feeling, even if we've had some holiday, we've had some time, but we're gearing up for maybe school or university or back to work in a different way or anything that, we've been doing. And I don't know about you, but I'm still feeling, even though I've had a really good holiday and break, just weary and distracted. And of course, during our coronavirus time, people have come up with some new words to describe the feeling that we're in. All the information that we've been hearing from the government and different views on things and the science and all of those things, there's a term that people have been using. Maybe you've become infobese. Or that every day just seems like every other day. And some people have said, well, every day's a blur's day. Every day's a blur's day, where every day just merges into every other day. Or maybe, and I mean, we thank God for the technology, don't we? We thank God for Zoom and other platforms as well. But maybe we've become a bit like zombies that are kind of wandering around. And it's a strange feeling still. Well, I think this psalm this morning, Psalm 92, is a bit of a wake-up call. It's, a slap round the face. For those of you who are an older generation, it's like smelling salts. You stick it up your nose and you're suddenly woken up. And certain portions of the Bible come at the right time. And I think over these last 6 months, Psalm 92 has become a really favourite psalm of mine. And some of you will have heard some of this before, because I said on a Wednesday we followed Psalm 92. But I thought I'd just put these thoughts together. And I think it's a very helpful psalm to us. And some of you will know that of all the 150 psalms in the Psalter, the Book of Psalms, this is the only psalm that is for the Sabbath day. This is the only psalm dedicated for the Lord's day. So it's a really important psalm. And maybe it's a psalm that it would have been said very regularly on the Lord's Day. Saturday for God's people, the Lord's Day, Sunday for us. And this song is a wake-up call. And it calls us to behold the Lord in rituals and rhythms. Look at verse 2, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. And it says to do it in certain ways. It is good to praise your name and make music to your name, O Most High. Verse 3, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. So we're to do these things in rituals and rhythms and remembrances, not simply out of duty, but out of joy. It is good to praise the Lord, to make music to your name. And we do these things habitually, but we also do them corporately as well. We don't just do them as individuals. We do them as God's people gathered together. That's what we're doing this morning. We can't be with each other physically, but we're still together on Zoom. And it's these amazing promises that we look at this morning. And so I just want to spend just a few minutes just noting three, I suppose, patterns or relationships that we see in the psalm. And the first I want to note is this: beholding is becoming. Beholding is becoming. For those of us who are feeling tired and weary and distracted, there's an amazing promise here that in that state of mind, when we behold the Lord, when we put him front and center, when he is the main focus of attention, when we glorify his name as we've been doing, singing to him and by praying to him, when we behold him, so we become like him. Look at verse 8 and verse 10. Verse 8, we'll come back to that. That's the kind of the center of the psalm. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. So it's the psalmist is saying, you, Lord, are the one to be put highest. You are the one to be exalted and lifted up. But when we do that, look at verse 10. You have exalted my horn. So when we exalt the Lord, so we are exalted. And in the Bible, it says when it exalts my horn, that's a bit of an odd phrase, but that really just means God's strength. You have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. So here's this amazing truth. When we behold the Lord, so we become like him. When we exalt God, we are exalted. And we'll come on to what that means in a minute. Notice how we become like God. Well, verses 12 to 14 is an amazing picture of strength. And when we behold the Lord, we almost have supernatural, like superpowers. Look at verse 11. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. So when we exalt God, we are exalted so much so that we see the defeat of our enemies and our ears hear that our wicked foes are going to be defeated as well. So here's an amazing truth. Beholding is becoming. When we exalt the Lord, so we are exalted. Now, the question is, how do we behold the Lord? Well, the beginning of the psalm, I've already said, has helped us to say how we do that. We do that in the rituals and rhythms and remembrances as we reorientate ourselves in this psalm every single week. It's a psalm for the Sabbath. As we come together as God's people, so we reorientate ourselves. Or imagine that you just had a week and it's been a really difficult week and you don't know up from down, left and right, and you're all over the place. Maybe your life compass is spinning around. Well, this is the kind of psalm that kind of points you back in the right direction. It says these are the really important things we need to know as God's people. So in the things that we do, the rhythms and rituals and remembrances, we behold the Lord, and so we become like him. Now, of course, we know, don't we, that we rely in complete dependence on the Holy Spirit. We become like the Lord because of his power, not because of anything we have done. We believe that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, making us more like the Lord Jesus. Just by way of a digression here, some of you will know a few weeks ago, one of the great Bible-believing Christians went to be with the Lord, Jim Packer. And Jim Packer was a great Anglican, and he ended up teaching in Canada. But many of you have read his books like Knowing God, and he's been a very influential Christian over many years, and he went to be with the Lord a few weeks ago. And I remember hearing him, I think this is from his book, Keep in Step with the Spirit, and I may have heard him talk about this as well. He had this great illustration that Christians, and I remember the phrase, he says, we are men and women under reconstruction. And our life is like a building site. And on this building site, the Holy Spirit is tearing down the old building, the old man, when we didn't know the Lord, and is building up the new man in Christ. Now, it's a messy thing. It's a painful thing. Construction sites are very loud and noisy, but that work is going on. And so we need to realize our complete dependence on the Holy Spirit. However, we mustn't forget that God uses our activity in this process. One writer says this: by nature, human beings build habits, whether good or bad, by repeated conduct over periods of time, character traits become ingrained in us through practice. Since the Spirit sanctifies us as human beings, not as some other kind of creature, he builds virtues in us over time as we pursue practices that accustom our hearts and minds to wholesome desires. Thus, we ought to ponder what sort of practices we should be pursuing in order to foster the virtues that support God-glorifying prayer and worship. So just think for a minute. What are those practices, those habits that enable us to exalt the Lord? In the psalm, it says that it's good to praise the Lord, to proclaim his love in the morning and his faithfulness at night to the music of the 10-string lyre. The psalmist has in mind a regular pattern whereby we're praising God in the morning and we're praising God in the evening, and we're doing that in all kinds of different ways. And as we do those things regularly, they become habits, and we build in those habits, and they're really good things for us to do. Now, here's the question, and I'm asking myself this as much as you. What are the habits that we've got into, even over these last 6 months? Are these habits that exalt the Lord? I look at my own life and I think, wow. Maybe I've been more interested in trying to do a bit of physical fitness, and that's been my habit. I want to get out and do some more running. Or I must read a particular website to tell me what's going on, and that's become my habit. Well, those are good things to do. But the focus here in building us up as we behold and we become are those things: proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. What first thing that we do in the morning when we wake up? Is it look at our email, look at the news news site, or is it to think about the Lord and his love? And what's the last thing that we do at night as well? Maybe we need to do a bit of self-inspection here and ponder, because as that writer said, human beings build habits, whether good or bad, by repeated conduct periods of time. What are our habits? Maybe there's some habits that we need to break and build new habits. Maybe we can help each other do that. Maybe you can say to someone else at East Finchley, hey, I really want to read my Bible more or pray more. Can you pray for me that I do that? Can you remind me maybe once a week that I'm I need to read something that's going to be helpful to me in this regard? Now, when we do that, when we behold the Lord, in rhythms and rituals every single week and we build those habits, we will have this wonderful picture of, you might call it spiritual hydration. I put in on the PowerPoint there, these pictures of these amazing palm trees that are spoken about in the psalm. Look at verse 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Here's the promise. When we behold the Lord, when we exalt him, we are exalted. And there's this amazing picture of spiritual life here. I mean, what a promise for those of us today who are feeling tired and weary. This is an amazing picture of spiritual life and spiritual flourishing. In his commentary on this passage, Derek Kidner, who's wrote a really great commentary on Psalms, he talks about these verses 12 to 14, and he calls them endless vitality, endless vitality. Listen to what he says. He says about these verses, it's not the greenness of perpetual youth. So this isn't just about being physically young, but he says, it's the freshness of age without sterility. He's saying that it doesn't matter how old you are today, that this picture is not about your physical age, but it's about the freshness of age without feeling sterile or kind of you still are life-giving. You can still produce amazing life and greenness. And he says, this is like Moses, who in Deuteronomy 34 was said of him, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And then Kidner finishes, this is the person whose wisdom was mature and his memory invaluably rich. It is a picture which bodily and mental ills must often severely limit, but which sets a pattern of spiritual stamina for our encouragement and possibly our rebuke. So Kidner's saying, look, yes, of course, we're affected in our body and we feel old and older and creaking. And maybe mentally, yes, we feel kind of difficult and maybe we're not very well and there's all kinds of issues. But that doesn't take away this amazing picture of spiritual freshness for the righteous person. And, you know, I could spend a lot of time talking about these amazing pictures of the flourishing like a palm tree or the cedar of Lebanon, an amazing picture of the strongest kind of type of tree at that time, flourishing, being fruitful, staying fresh and green. If you've been on holiday recently and you've been to a different part of the country and you've seen just kind of really green grass or you've seen tall trees, and that's the picture of the righteous person. So beholding is becoming, and we'll come back to that at the end. Secondly, praising is polemic. Now, what I found most interesting about this psalm is the commentators and Bible scholars say that verse 8 is the center of the psalm. That one verse, but you, Lord, are forever exalted. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. Now, what's important to note about this is something that we often forget. And I think this is the thing that has struck me most about this psalm as I've looked at it over the last few months. When in the Psalms and in other writings in the Bible as well, especially in the Old Testament, when we have a phrase like that, but you, Lord, are forever exalted, it's just a statement of praise. It's not just a positive statement about who God is. It is that, but it's more than that. In saying, but you, Lord, exalted, it's also saying, but you, Lord, alone and not something else are forever exalted. In praising God, it's so a polemical statement, which is saying, if we exalt you, Lord, it means that other things can't be exalted. It means that you, Lord, alone are exalted. You are the only one to be exalted and not something else. Now, I found that really, really helpful over the last few months. Because I think there's all kinds of things in my life and in our society that maybe we've put and maybe we have exalted. Not that we shouldn't thank God for those things, but we need to be careful that we never exalt them in the way that we exalt the Lord. And that's very important, because when we do that, when we put something in the place of God, that is called idolatry. And it can be a person, it can be an institution, it can be a belief, it can be anything that captivates our heart more than God. It's really interesting as you read this psalm, where you put the emphasis of the words. Notice, let's go back to that first verse again of the psalm. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name. Or maybe a phrase, didn't have to be this psalm, maybe a psalm that says something like, sing to the Lord a new song. It's interesting, if you put the emphasis on different words, it means different things. We might say, sing to the Lord a new song, as opposed to just speaking our praise. But when we say sing to the Lord, when we put the emphasis on the word sing, it's about singing rather than speaking. Or we might say, sing to the Lord a new song, as in we've been singing some old songs, but now we're going to sing to the Lord a new song. However, I think in a phrase like sing to the Lord a new song, or in our passage today, it is good to praise the Lord, I think the emphasis is on the word the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, as opposed to singing to other idols or false gods. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, as opposed to making music to any other name. One writer says this: these hymns, like this psalm we're looking at today, are offered as polemical statements. They're offered against the gods, even as they are sung to Yahweh. When we sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow, we're also saying, down with the gods from whom no blessings flow. The affirmation of God always contains a polemic against someone else. It may be that the exiles will sing such innocuous sounding phrases, glory to God in the highest, or praise God from whom all blessings flow, but these are polemical statements. One writer says this: when we sing our pretty songs of praise, it's as if we are singing, take that, you false gods. Now, again, it's really important that we come together as God's people, and we can do that. Maybe there are other things during the week that we have exalted and we shouldn't have done. But when we say, but you, Lord, are forever exalted, we're saying, but you, Lord, alone, and not my kids or my husband or my wife or my job or the NHS or the government or any of these things. You, Lord, alone are forever exalted. So, praising is polemic. These are never just pretty, safe psalms. When we say, but you, Lord, are forever exalted, we're saying something negative about any other God or substitute God. And again, maybe that's helpful for us to think through as we come together each week and we sing God's praises. That's why we've been given the Psalter. We've been given 150 songs to sing. But you, Lord, are exalted forever. So, beholding is becoming, as we exalt the Lord, we are exalted. This is an amazing picture of spiritual life. As we praise the Lord, we're also saying down with any other gods who would pretend to be like God and would function as God. And then finally this morning, his exaltation is our own. Look at that picture again in from verse 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Well, here's the problem, and I think you might have seen it. This is great for the righteous person, but often I don't feel very righteous. I know there's ways this week that I've not exalted the Lord. I haven't beheld the Lord as I should. I don't feel like a righteous person. So how do I claim these promises? How can I claim these promises? Because the psalmist says the righteous will flourish, and I know that I'm not righteous at all. Well, of course we know, don't we? We know that there is a righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who fulfills this psalm. He is the one who flourishes like a palm tree and grew like a cedar of Lebanon, because he was in a perfect relationship with his Father. He was the righteous man. And so in him, we claim those promises, not because we're righteous, because we know that we're not, but because we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is proclaimed righteous, and so we are as well. He is the one whose deeds make us glad. He is the one who has defeated his enemies and scattered all evildoers. Look at verse 9. But for surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. Well, if we didn't have Jesus, then how could we claim that promise? Because I look around the world today and I see all kinds of enemies and all kinds of evildoers, and they seem to be winning. And yet we know, don't we, that Jesus is the one who has defeated his enemies and scattered all evildoers. He is the mighty, righteous, flourishing one. And so we claim these promises because of the Lord Jesus. And what a refreshment that is to us in these very strange and, I suppose, sapping times. He is the one who cares. He is the one, by his death and resurrection, that all God's enemies are scattered and one day will finally be scattered and seen to be scattered. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Not a government, not any institution, not an ideology, not any identity. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is Lord and is forever exalted. And so this amazing picture of spiritual vitality is ours because it was Jesus's. It is Jesus's, the righteous one. But as I close, it is a very positive and triumphant picture. But this links in, I suppose, to these great works or the profound thoughts that we see at the beginning of the psalm. What are these great works and profound thoughts that God has given us? Maybe from a human perspective, maybe we see great military might or brute power. Maybe if we were organizing the world, we'd do it very different. Well, we know, don't we, that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the greatest work of God and the most profound thing that has happened, that the world sees it as foolishness. And we would have been exactly the same. We see a man dying on a cross, and we don't think that that is the way to spiritual life. We think it's defeat. And yet God says that is the greatest victory. The great works of the Lord and the profoundness of his thoughts are in the cross, which the world calls foolishness. And yet that is the pattern, not just of the life of Christ and our salvation, but it's our life as well. And that's why I asked Matthew earlier on to read that passage from John chapter 12. Let me read it again. Just think for a minute of that pattern of death and defeat leading to life. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Now, why is it important that we get hold of that? Why is it really important this morning? Because this takes away any kind of prosperity gospel. Because what we're saying is that if the Christian life is one of death followed by life, if it's suffering followed by glory, if it is modeled on the life of Christ, who is a single kernel of wheat who falls to the ground and dies and is crucified, but then is raised to life and produces much fruit. If that's the pattern for our life, then it means that all of these truths, all of these promises, all of this amazing picture of spiritual life from verse 12 to verse 15 is true even when God's people are going under undergoing great hardship and suffering. So people even today who are suffering for their faith, maybe I'm sure it's true in the world, there are people who are being tortured for being a Christian at the moment. This psalm of spiritual vitality is still true for them. They are still flourishing like a palm tree. They are still growing like the cedar of Lebanon. And that's an amazing thing to think about, because they are in Christ and the truths about Christ are true for them. And this is the pattern of the Christian life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. Yes, they may persecute the body, but we can have this amazing spiritual truths that these people, we still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. So maybe this is an encouragement to us this morning. I'm sure we moan a lot, don't we? But we are in a much better position than many Christians throughout the world who are suffering persecution. But yeah, we're in a difficult time at the moment. We can't meet together. We're feeling tired and weary. Maybe some of us are feeling that physically. Maybe we're feeling that emotionally. And yet we can take these great truths this morning, and they are true because the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection has been exalted. And so we are exalted as well. Verse 10, "You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of wicked foes." May that be an encouragement for us this morning, that we behold, so we will become, that we praise the Lord. And when we do that, we say, "Down with any other God that would pretend to be like the Lord Jesus Christ." And we claim these truths because Jesus, the righteous one, has gone before us. He is the one who is that kernel of wheat who's fallen to the ground and dies and has produced many seeds, including our new birth. May we recognize that pattern and claim those great truths of spiritual vitality this morning. Let's come to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this psalm. Lord, we know that we are creatures who are creatures of habit. May by your Spirit, Lord, you work in us those habits where we would be able to behold your glory so we become like you. As we exalt you, so we are exalted. Lord, forgive us. in ways, even this week, that we have exalted other things, other created things, and not exalted you. Lord, we pray that we would go from here and on our lips we would be singing, but you, Lord, and not anything else or anyone else, are forever exalted. May that be the pattern of our priorities this week. In everything we say and do and in the way that we live, it would be that we are exalting you in everything. And Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the only righteous one. Lord, we thank you that we flourish because of him, that he is exalted, Lord, but his exaltation was being lifted up on a cross. And that pattern of death and resurrection, that pattern of suffering and followed by glorification, is the pattern we see not just in Jesus's life, but our life as well. Lord, we pray that we would be prepared for that and still rejoice, Lord, that we still flourish at those times. We still grow. We are still those that can flourish in the courts of our God. May we be people, Lord, who bear fruit in old age. We stay fresh and green. May we be people who always proclaim, the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no wickedness in him. Amen. I'm going to hand back to Matthew.